Good morning. Good morning. It's good to get to be with you this morning. I'm excited about this morning. I can't always explain. I can't really even tell you why I know, but I know that God is doing some stuff this morning, and I'm excited about it. And that's really all I can say because I don't want to put people on the spot. And I'm sure there's probably some people going on. He's probably talking about me. I'm talking about like multiple people that I know that God's kind of working in their lives right now. And it's no accident that they're here today. I'm excited about that. I really am. And so maybe God's working in your life right now. Maybe he's not, because maybe some of that, maybe you kind of recognize, maybe I've been kind of not paying attention to God lately or spending time with him. So I pray that today could be a fresh start for you. And that's kind of what we're talking about today. Before we get into that, I just want to kind of make mention that this, actually about 2 days ago or so, was our fourth anniversary as a church, as meeting and having services. And isn't God good? Isn't this awesome? I mean, it's unbelievable. This morning, how insane is this? This morning, I got to spend time this past week with a guy that is starting a church in Ashland City. And we're just trying to help him and help them in any way that we can. And we're praying for them. You know, it's just a crazy thing, because we were talking this week over some lunch, and he was just saying, you know, well, you know, we're having our first service this coming Sunday. And of course, it's the first week in January, which is also when we had our first service in 2005. And I just said, man, that's so crazy, because that's when we had our first service and stuff. So, and just talking through that with him, and just talking about what God wants to do in that church and what God wants to do over there. And I just encouraged him, because this is not the norm. The failure rate of church planting is about 80%. 80% of people that start churches never make it past the 2 year mark, or the 2.5, 3 year mark, something like that. And it's just awesome. And I'll tell you, the reason that we have made it to here is because so many of you have given time and have served and have loved other people. And just for a second, for our volunteers, if you volunteer, I want you to know, I can't thank you enough from the bottom of my heart. And for those of us that are in here, I would love for us to thank those that volunteer in so many different ways. Thank you for what you do. We are so glad that you serve us. And we're so glad to get to serve with you. I'm going to ask Lori if she would to join me up here, and I want to kind of just brag for just a second on something that has been going on. Our church is obviously growing, and because of that, our kids' ministries grow. When it's booming in here, it's booming in there. Lori is just one of many that helps with our kids' church. But last weekend, Lori had the opportunity, and it was totally a moment thing. Just in talking with Lori about this, totally a moment thing of God just really leading her. I don't think it was like on the docket to really spend time doing this, but she wound up sharing what it meant to know Christ as your Savior in our kids' church last week. And at least three of our kids came to Christ last week in there. And Lori, thank you for just being led by God and doing that. How awesome it is. She wants no credit for this, but you know, seriously, just for letting God lead you, we should thank you. And one of the things that's going on, people say, Chris, what's the big need at 24 Church right now? We've been talking about some money stuff lately, and everybody knows that, and a little orange card in the seat and all that, and you've seen that. But honestly, probably the biggest need at 24, and we're going to spend a moment praying about this, and Lori's going to pray for us for this here in just a second. The biggest need at our church right now is people that would be willing to go and hang out with our kids. Our kids' ministry is in a completely different place than it's ever been. We're doing more curriculum-based, and you know, trying to actually teach and do things, even with our little kids, than we've ever done before, which is awesome. And so we're giving everybody that comes to serve more stuff to work with than they've ever had before. So it's not like you got to come in and you know, figure it all out by yourself or something. But we need bodies. And I'll just be honest with you, it is at that point where in some of these rooms, we're probably going to have to start turning kids away because we don't have enough workers. And here's what's been happening. People at the last minute have had things come up and they can't come. And so they call in and, hey, I'm going to go to the Titans game, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. And what winds up happening is we have room leaders in the preschool rooms, and they wind up covering for those people. Well, I know for a fact that two of those room leaders covered for people for a month solid. They missed out on what God is doing in here, and missed out on getting fed in here because they had to be in there every week. Now, in our kids' church, this is a whole nother scenario. You guys are in there pretty much every week. You guys don't have enough people to rotate with at all. And so you'd be happy just to have an extra body once a month, just to come in and hang out. And sometimes it's just helping to play games. Again, you guys have all the stuff. You just give them the ammo. It's like, this is what we're doing. Just help join in and help lead the kids and, you know, take them to the potty and, you know, whatever. And so I'm not telling you this so that you'll feel guilty, but I am saying if you're not serving and you're a part of the church, then you should be serving. And I've asked you, right before we had our baby, we kind of went away, and so I didn't really get to follow up on this, but right before we had our baby, I asked our church as a whole to pray about serving somewhere. And so in the seats today, we've purposely put the background request, which is something that we do, completely confidential, but something that we do on all volunteers. The only thing we're looking for is pedophiles, for obvious reasons, and that we just do that for any volunteer ministry because all of our volunteers at some point are around our kids, and it's just a protection thing, and it's obviously a scare tactic to try to keep people that would want to come and pray on our kids away. And so, you know, if you're interested in doing that, fill that out today. Fill out the other little white card. It's just a regular information card. You've probably filled out one before. But fill out that and just put on there your all of your information. Fill it out and say, I want to serve in, and just put it in and just throw it in the offering today. You've had plenty of time to pray about it. You've had plenty of time to think about it. Just try something. Just give it a shot. If you want to do preschool, if you want to do kids' church, those are really big needs right now. We can always use more greeters and more parkers and that stuff too, and that would be great if that's where God is leading you. We want you to be where God wants you to be. But right now, I'm saying we as a church need to come and aid the need of the moment. And here's the deal. We want to keep growing. We can't keep growing until this need is met. It's not going to happen. God is not going to bring us more people until we are ready to minister to them. So really, truthfully, we need to like double volunteers everywhere, more than double in your area, but just double everywhere so that we could be ready for God to double us as a church. I believe God wants to do that. And I'm ready to go for us to do two services sometime this year. And so there'll be an early service and a late service, and people can serve 1 hour and go to worship the other. You know, and so, you know, all this stuff would really help out. But for us to get there, I think God is waiting for us as a congregation to step out on faith and say, I want to serve. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. You don't have to know anything about kids. You may be an idiot. That's okay. You're all the more better, okay? I'm an idiot, okay? It works out. God uses idiots. And so just allow God to use you. And so, Lori, if you would, just pray for us in this need, and that we would love God enough to follow him and all of those things that he would just speak to our hearts, okay? Thank you.
Father God, we just love you so much, and we just lift you up, and we praise your name, and we're so grateful, and we're so thankful that we can be here today worshiping you with all these other believers, God. I just thank you so much for the many children that you've blessed us with here at 24 Church. Each one is so precious, and we love them all so much. And God, we rejoice when we see them give their lives over to Jesus. And when they pray that prayer and they say, be the Lord of my life. God, we're so thankful and grateful that you could use us at 24 Church in that process so that they could have eternal life. God, even today, they're asking, are we going to say the prayer of salvation again today? And I just pray for those children who are asking that and all those who didn't take the opportunity last week. And I just pray for your wisdom and guidance on us, and that the Holy Spirit would just take over the entire children's worship today, and that we would see more souls come to you. And God, I lift up everyone in this church and all that they do to serve. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would impress upon each one of us the work that you have for us to do in your kingdom and right here at 24 Church. God, just speak to us and give everyone the confidence and the strength and the faith that they need to be able to serve you, Lord, especially in our children's ministry from preschool all the way up to children's worship and even with the youth. God, that you would just speak to us and let us know where you want us to serve. And God, we know that we don't have to be perfect to serve you. In fact, your word promises that our weakness is made perfect with your strength. And just give us the faith to step out there and to step into your service and into helping others join your kingdom, Father. We love you so much, and we just want to please you and honor you in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Lori, thank you. it's always a, you know, a, it's one of those things, and I know people go, well, you know, we hear about this time and time again. You know, it's always a need at a church like ours for us to have people that would work with kids, and the dilemma kind of rises in with, you know, you've got young couples that are trying to base a marriage in God, and they want to be in here so badly that they don't want to serve somewhere where they're going to miss a worship service. And then you've got older people that are like, well, I don't have kids anymore, and the young people need to take care of their kids. And really, I'll just be honest with you, that's just not a godly heart. Because this church is about reaching people. And so as a whole, we as a whole should be just about what's got to be done next. What's the next thing that needs to be done? Let's jump on that. Let's be in on that. And I'll be honest with you, if I wasn't here doing this, I would jump in on that. I would. I've said, you know, my heart is really out in front. I would love to be a greeter all the time and just be out in front and just making sure people feel at home. Because that's such an important part of our church that if people don't feel at home, it doesn't matter what happens in here, they're not going to come back. And so I just ask you, pray about that. Don't take forever to pray about it, though. I think one of those things that we make a mistake in is that we pray about something, we're just like, I'm going to keep praying until God, you know, gives me a sign. Well, boom, here's a sign, all right? quit praying, start doing, all right? Be doers of the word, as James says. So anyway, man, I got to share this with you because it excites me every year. Ever since I was a little kid, it's amazing to me how this works out. Every year, I get the most wonderful present of all presents. And it's just one of those things that, man, it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter who you are, but it's just one of the most wonderful things. And I got this a couple weeks ago. I meant to bring this last week. Completely forgot. Really, it worked out for me to share it with you today. But I got the glorious soap on a rope. And I'm curious, are any of you in here guilty of giving soap on a rope this past year? Would anybody admit to it? Please. Even as a regift. Anybody regift soap on a rope this year? Liars? I know my mother-in-law is not the only person buying these. Used to be my grandmother, and then I got a mother-in-law, you know, so it just kind of, it's kind of crazy. But anyway, I'm going to hang that there for the guys. it's a gift that keeps on giving until it's all given out. And then it doesn't give any more. And that kind of goes with what we're talking about today. Today we're talking about starting over. We're talking about making a new start. You know, it's a new year. You know, I've had so many people within the end of this year say to me, you know, Chris, I'm really hoping to see God do some things in my life this next year. And I want to tell you, I know, you know, we saw the you know, kind of the New Year's resolutions up there that maybe were broken or not made or, you know, whatever, and, you know, kind of jars your memory to years past. And, you know, so many years I myself, and, you know, have set things, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And a lot of times we make it, a lot of times we don't. And I think that it's a good thing for us to try. I was talking to somebody this week about Christians. And I was kind of having to do the apologetic conversation of almost apologizing for all the Christians that have been hypocrites. Truth be known, we've all been hypocrites at some point in time. But the conversation was just kind of going in the direction of, this is somebody that obviously doesn't trust the church and doesn't trust Christianity because they've seen Christians do some really stupid things, as we all have. And, you know, as we were talking about it, I was explaining to them, you know, the most important thing to understand about Christians is that they're just sinners trying. You know, we're saved by grace. We know Jesus is our Savior, but the bottom line is that we're still sinners, but we're trying. Now, obviously, we can't say that for all Christians, that all Christians are trying, but that is the goal, is that we're trying. You know, and so if you know, a new year comes and that's a way for you to try again at doing something that you know God wants you to do, I think that's a great thing. You know, a cheesy, you know, some, yeah, you know, with some of these things, whatever. But it doesn't matter because it's about us trying to pursue God in everything that we do. And if you know, the year 2009, you know, marks a magical moment for you in your life, then so be it. He's speaking to us. Watch out. Lights are dimming on us now. Come on. We won't stop either. The passage of scripture that I want to look at this morning is one that maybe is familiar to you and maybe it is not, but it's out of the book of Jonah. And in Jonah, the first chapter, we see God calling Jonah to do something that he had called him to kind of do before in Jerusalem. And in this particular passage, God is calling Jonah to go out and to do something. He's calling him to serve. Imagine that. And he's saying, Jonah, I want you to go and I want you to do this. In fact, let's just read it. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. And it says this. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. This sounds simple, similar, doesn't it? Sounds familiar? God calling us to do something. What's Jonah do? I'm going to run the other way. Going the other way. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. We've got a regular mess on our hands when we don't follow God. The whole deal with Nineveh was a city that basically had kind of turned their backs on God. They were just full of sin. They were not pursuing God. They were not doing what I was trying just to say just a second ago and trying to pursue God. I said, Chris, I can never be perfect. Of course you can't be perfect. You can try. We can try to pursue a life like Christ's. And Jonah was given this call to go to this city of Nineveh. And Jonah didn't want to go. And I think honestly, and we see some of this later in the passage, but I think honestly, some of the reason Jonah didn't want to go is because he knew what was going on in Nineveh. And he basically had just kind of gotten to the point that some of us do with people that we know go to church and say they're Christians. And they just kind of wash their hands of it and say, let them burn. I don't care. I'm tired of it. I've dealt with it forever. I'm tired of seeing people that, you know, say they're one thing and they act another. Jonah runs. It's not what God wanted him to do, and now we've got a storm on our hands. Continuing on in verse 5, it says, but Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish. They're begging Jonah, come on up here, dude. Come up here and call on your God. Make something happen. If your God is real, something, you know, we need anything we got. We've thrown everything overboard. What's next? Then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. They cast lots and the lot fell on Jonah. Busted. So they asked him, tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? Simple answer. Here it comes. He answered, I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. And then they got scared. Verse 10, this terrified them and they asked, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? And this is pretty gutsy right here. Jonah is going to go ahead and throw himself under the bus on this in verse 12. And he says, pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you pleased. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. I don't know about you, but even if I knew I was guilty, I think I'd be kind of thinking, well, maybe it's just a storm and let's just ride it out. Let's don't throw anybody overboard yet, especially me, right? But Jonah does a pretty gutsy thing. I mean, we see him in the beginning of this scripture being an idiot, you know, just kind of falling into human deal and just, you know, not doing what God has called him to do. But then he realizes he's the problem. He's causing dissension between God and what he wants to do. And I don't think that we think a lot about that. I don't think that we think about us getting, you know, in the way of something that God wants to do. Truth be known, God can move us out of the way. There's no doubt about that. But so many times God calls us to do things that we just kind of look at God and we go, well, you know, I've heard them say that they've got that need, or I know that that's going on at work, but I don't really want to get involved. I got to tell you, I got involved this past week. And I promise you, I'm not a hero in this. I may be an idiot in this, actually. Because usually I am. I was at the bank this week, and I was in there, and this guy was in front of me in line. And he was a pretty good-sized guy, and he was getting pretty angry with the teller. And I know all of the ladies in the bank that I go to most of the time. You know, I say hello, and we chit-chat, and how's the baby, and blah, blah, blah. And so I was in there, and I was doing the bank thing, and he's getting madder by the minute. Because they won't cash his dad's check. And so he didn't have an account there. And so he finally says, I want to speak to the manager. And I thought, well, this would be good, you know, nice and entertaining, because it's all kind of out in the open. There's just some cubicles going on here. And so I said, you know, I was just kind of hanging back. And so the lady that's helping him really, very kindly says, well, yes, sir, she's right over there. She's on the phone. If you would just take a seat right over there. As soon as she's off the phone, I'm sure she'll be right with you. And he starts walking that direction, and he goes, forget that, I ain't waiting. And he just starts stomping through the bank. And he goes over, and sure enough, the manager's back here on the phone, and she's just doing her job, she's minding her own business. And this guy comes over and like gets right up on her cubicle, and he's just like, you won't cash this check? And I mean, he's getting a little crazy at this point. And just kind of going on, what's your name? And who are you? And you're the manager? And I'm going to get you fired. You know, and so I was minding my own business for the most part. But I'll tell you what was rubbing me the wrong way. And maybe it wouldn't have been so bad if it was just a bank full of dudes sitting around. But it was just something about that. There was all these ladies in there. And this guy was stomping through there. And so after he has yelled at her for probably about 3 minutes, he starts stomping away. And as he starts stomping away, he goes, oh, y'all ain't nothing but a bunch of... And I was like, and I was kind of looking at the teller I was, you know, hanging out with, talked to her, you doing okay? Everything all right? We're all good, right? You know. And so then I heard that, and then I turned. And just out of just pure, just, I don't know if a reaction or whatever, I was just like, no, 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 we're not having that. And he's just about to the door, and he starts to turn and look at me, and he goes, what? And I said, no. And he goes, you need to mind your own business. And I said, public place, you made it my business. You're not going to talk to the ladies like that. Get out of here. And so then he starts in on me. You know, you think if I told him to get out of there, I mean, you look at me, and I mean, I'm a pretty intimidating guy. You know, he'd want to leave. Well, no, that's not the case at all. He's like, listen here. And you know, and I'm like, oh, okay, all right. And he's like, you want to, let's just go out in the parking lot. And I was like, you can go out in the parking lot. I've got some things to deposit. I didn't really say that, but I wish I had. this really happened? I mean, it's amazing to me. And, you know, and so anyway, I go, you know, finally, you know, we have a few more words, and I'm basically just trying to get this dude to leave, because I really am. It rubbed me the wrong way. He treated the ladies in the bank. And again, I'm no hero. Again, I'm an idiot for probably doing this. But anyway, I did it. And when I went out to my car, of course, he's sitting in his truck and he's waiting for me to get in my car. I'm in my old Mustang, so granted, there's not so many of those running around that he probably couldn't find me and come to my house and kill me if he wants to. But, you know, in the end of the whole thing, you know, it was just one of those things where, you know, I thought to myself, I bet this guy wishes that he could go back and that he could just start over. And you know, I'm not so sure that my stepping in really did any good, to be real honest with you. But I think for so many of us, we're afraid to step in when we need to step in. Even on little stuff, I mean, just like, golly, man, just like little situations that happen that we know that if we just stepped in and we just said a kind word, not being mean, not trying to start a fight, you know, but just trying to do the right thing. If we would step in, that God would use it. And that's what God was trying to do with Jonah. He was trying to use Jonah to do a great thing. For chapter 3, very short chapter. By the way, the whole book is 4 chapters. Read the book this week. If you need somewhere to start in just a Bible study this week, read the book of Jonah. You'll probably read it when you sit down for like 10 minutes. You'll read the whole thing, honestly. But chapter 3, I want us to look at it. We're reading 2 chapters of the 4, so come on. Chapter 3, verse 1, it says this. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And this is after, we're kind of skipping the whole Jonah in the belly of the fish, and Jonah is crying out to God, and God, you remember me, and I've tried to do you, and then finally God's like, okay, I see your heart is turning back toward me, that's good. Bleh, spits him out of the fish. We skipped that right there, okay? Now we're chapter 3. See, you got to go read it now. Chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. God is speaking to Jonah a second time after coming out of the fish, after he's disobeyed and all this stuff. Verse 2, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim it the message I give you. And it's just God, and he's just saying, come on, just do what I asked you to do before. Just be faithful. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast. They knew God and they feared God. And so as soon as they heard this, they start getting scared. They don't want to be in no fish. The Ninevites believed God, they declared a fast, and all of them from the greatest to the least put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation to Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast or herd or flock taste anything. Do not let him eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. And so basically, everybody, the people of Nineveh, came together and just said, God, we're sorry. We're sorry. Forgive us. God, we want to follow you. Please forgive us. Only they do it to like the utmost way possible. And God seeing this, it says in verse 10, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. Jonah could have cost a city their lives. Now you can argue, and I would argue this myself, that God would just go get somebody else to go do that, and I believe that. But God wanted Jonah to do it. He wanted to use Jonah to do it. And today he wants to use us to do his work in many different ways. And that's why that it is such a big deal that we all are a part of the family of God. That's why it's such a big deal that if 24 Church is your church home, that you're serving, that you're a part, that you're a piece of the body that is functional, so that the church, the bride of Christ, is not dysfunctional. God is calling us. And we see a city, we see an entire city turn from their sin, lay it behind them and say, you know what? That sin has been nothing but just a bunch of junk in my life, and I want to get rid of it. And I want to move toward what God wants for me. And I'm just thinking, if God would do that with a city, what would he do with a body of believers that would do the same? What could he do with a church between Clarksville and Nashville? What would he do with a church between Springfield and Ashland City? If the entire church, from the greatest to the least, went to God and said, God, I'm sorry. I want to follow you. I want to be ready for what you have. I want to be ready for what you want. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, this has happened because of him and because of a faithful few. You say, Chris, it'll never happen. There'll always be somebody that doesn't want to follow God. There'll always be somebody that's too lazy to serve. They just want to sleep late. They just want to whatever, whatever. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I believe in my heart that if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you want to follow him with all of your heart. I can't even tell you what that looks like for your life. But I can tell you that he wants you to be a part of a body of believers, whether it's a 24 church or whether it's, you know, somewhere else. Wherever your church home is, you should be serving. You should be a part of that. You should be a part of God's kingdom work. What would happen, Chris, if we did that? What would really happen? I'll tell you what would happen. I don't even have to guess because I've seen God do it. When God's people rise up and they say, God, we're here for you and we're ready to do whatever you want to do. As a group, as a gathering of people, if we were to do that, here's what would happen. If it's true in our hearts and we're really going to act on it, we wouldn't be able to contain the number of people that would come to this place to worship God. We wouldn't believe how many people would come to him to be saved. Say, Chris, how do you know? I just know in my heart. And I know because 4 years ago, 69 people came together and that was their heart. And every one of those 69 people set out and they said, you know what? This is not about me. It's about them. You know who them was? Some of you. They believed in this so much and they believed in what God wanted to do so much that they put themselves aside and said, I'm going to serve. I'm going to keep kids for a year straight without getting to go to a worship service. I'm going to help park so that when people come in our parking lot, they feel welcome, because at so many churches, let's face it, people don't feel welcome. Why? Because of this, because his word offers something to those people that they need, that we have, because of the cross. And so I just challenge you, where you're at, no matter where you are, no matter where you've been, starting over is a good thing. And you've got an opportunity for a fresh start. This morning, our ushers are going to come and they're going to be taking our offering. Now, I want us to take a second to pray over our offering. Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for loving us enough to give us your Son on a cross so that we could kill him in order to receive forgiveness for where we failed you. God, it's the most amazing thing on the planet. God, we don't deserve it, but God, you've given it. God, there's people here today that I have no doubt that, Lord, they don't know you. They've never encountered you in a way where you have spoken to their heart and said, I want you to run to me and know me as your Savior. God, for those people that are here today, God, I pray that you would just impress on their heart that they can talk to one of us right after the service here down front or in the foyer. God, I just pray, Lord, that they would seek that out. That they would seek out just an opportunity to ask the question, what does that mean to know Christ as your Savior? God, thank you for the cross. God, thank you for second chances. Thank you for letting us start over. God, you are truly amazing. We love you so much. We pray, Lord, for the offering that we're receiving today. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just take it and multiply it. God, it is our act of worship to bring this to you, something that you have asked us to do. God, I pray, Lord, that we would be faithful in that, just like Jonah was the second time around. God, we love you. May that come out in how we worship you and how we live our lives. In your name I pray.